Toyota covers both Broad Street and High Street and runs from 6 p.m. on Friday the 31st July until 6 a.m. on Sunday the 2nd of August. The dispersal order follows investigations by police surrounding reports of an affray on Sunday morning. Since then, a 36-year-old man from Barry has been arrested on suspicion of affray. Cardiff and Vale University Health Board has named Chris Brown as its interim chief executive officer. He brings more than three decades of senior leadership experience in healthcare, including 25 years as an NHS chief executive. He'll take up the role on Monday, 3rd of August, and oversee the next stage of the Health Board improvement and transformation work. And the Football Association of Wales has released an official anthem ahead of the start of the new Cymru Premier campaign. The bilingual track, which title directly translates as "The Best Players Team Play," has been created by songwriter Ivan Pritchard, the lead singer of award-winning Welsh language band Gwilym. Barrowtown United will kick off their Cymru Premier campaign at home against newly promoted Cambrian United, with kick-off tomorrow at 7:45 p.m. Elsewhere in sport, para-athlete Alid Davis has won Wales' second Commonwealth gold game last night in the men's discus. The 35-year-old's victory in Glasgow followed the success of gymnast Ruby Evans. It's the second Commonwealth gold for Davis, who admitted that picking up at this event every 4 years at his age is now proving to be more tricky.
For more local news for the Vale of Glamorgan,
head to broradio.fm.
Had a bit of a nightmare, the Welsh champs, the British champs, so I'm just so happy I can deliver my best performance on, you know, the stage that matters the most.
Hello, and welcome to July's edition of First Draft, the radio show for writers. My name is Sarah Pershon and I am a writer living in the Vale of Glamorgan. On this show, we learn how to be better writers and demystify the world of publishing. Today, I am chatting to the fabulous Emma Smith Barton about her brand new children's book, Atlas and Sky, published by Penguin Books. I'll also be chatting to CJ Wagstaff, who will be giving us some top tips on how to get your name out there. And CJ has just won the Nigel Jenkins Award, so lots of interesting things to be discussed there. Plus, we'll have the lowdown of writing submissions and events. But first of all, we have Foster the People with Pumped Up Kicks.
We'll be right back. Emma Smith Barton is an author nominated for multiple awards and who is based in South Wales. And her brand new book, Atlas and Sky, is out now with Penguin. She has previously written the novel The Million Pieces of Nina Gill, which was shortlisted for the Waterstones Children's Book Prize. So it's a really exciting time. Congratulations on the new book, Emma. And can you tell me all about Atlas and Sky?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Atlas and Sky is a middle grade novel, so that's 9 to 11 year olds roughly, but I have been informed that lots of adults have read it, especially grandparents who've really loved it. So it's a sort of love story to grandparents, really. It follows the story of Atlas and Sky. Atlas is struggling because his grandfather is forgetting things, and Sky is trying to hold on to her grandmother's memories. So they become friends, a sort of unlikely friendship, really. And they go on an adventure to find Atlas's grandfather's memories, led by a talking bird. So there's an element of a bit of magic in there.
Grandparents are very important in children's lives. Is that something that you wanted to kind of bring out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of writing this novel was I lost my grandmother about 10 years ago now, or over 10 years ago. But she was such a huge figure in my life. And I talk to my children a lot about her. And they're always asking questions. And we're looking at photos and, you know, those memories. In the book, Sky has a brooch that her grandmother left her. And I do have that brooch. So there are bits of me in it. It's all fictional, but I'm definitely drawing on my own life a little bit with that grief element. But yeah, I think grandparents just, they play such a significant role in young people's lives, and they don't always get the kind of credit that they deserve, I think.
I agree. And on the cover, the question's asked, can the past ever save the future? What do you think about that question?
It's an interesting question, isn't it? So Atlas and Sky go on this sort of journey to recover grandfather's memories in this hope that they can save his memory. And obviously that's probably not going to be possible. But I think what I wanted to explore is how our past shapes us, whether we hold on to those memories or lose them. It shapes us in different ways. So can it save the future? I think it just is part of the future in many different ways.
So it's really interesting in that your book is written as a combination between verse and prose, depending on which character is speaking. How did you decide to structure the book in that way?
Yeah, so I've always really loved reading verse novels. And I remember the first one I read was Sarah Crossan's One, and it just blew me away. And I've always wanted to write in verse ever since. And I have tried a few times in the past, but the voice never felt quite right. Like I was forcing the verse upon the character rather than it coming organically from the character's voice. But when I was writing this book, I didn't intend to write it part in verse originally. It was Atlas's story. And then Sky just burst onto the page and her voice was in verse. She feels everything so deeply. She's full of energy, and it just felt like a very natural voice for her.
It looks so gorgeous how the kind of font is written as well for the verse section.
I really wanted to play with that, like add that playful element, so that young people can really see how you can play with language and play with words and express yourself in different ways. There's not one way to express yourself. It could be a story, it could be prose, it could be verse, it could be a diary. So that's one of the things that I think my background in English teaching and creative writing has fed into that kind of passion to show young people how to express themselves in different ways.
Yeah, because there's little bits where, you know, some might be capitalized or kind of words spread along the page, and it really does impact on the kind of the pace and how you read it in your head. And I just thought that was very cool. You're a real advocate for using literature to improve well-being and mental health. You just said that as a background of an English teacher. Is that what led you there, or something else?
I think probably a combination of things. So, interestingly, all my work in some way, not consciously, but when I look back at it, has an element of mental health in it. I mean, even in Atlas and Sky, I would say, you know, it's there under the surface, even though it's not explored in a huge amount of detail. It's not the theme as such, but it's all there. And obviously, A Million Pieces of Nina Gill was about mental health. And then when I look back at my short stories that I've written, because I write short stories for adults as well, and there's an element of mental health in most of them. And I think partly because when I was growing up, I saw that there was such a stigma in the South Asian community around mental health, and that always bothered me. So I like to write to challenge stigma. And then some personal experiences as well. So The Million Pieces of Nina Gill was written after someone very close to me got ill with psychosis. And they asked me to write about mental health. And it's all fictionalized, completely fiction. So what they experienced, I mean, was tough enough, but the stigma they received around it was just really, really difficult to see. And to navigate. And so, that's why I wanted to write about it, to increase awareness, to increase empathy around it. And then also in my teaching as well, I saw so many young people struggling with mental health. So I think all those things go hand in hand. And so I ended up writing for young people about mental health as well.
All right, little darling, it's been
And that was the Beatles with Here Comes the Sun. Now we are back with Emma Smith Martin, talking about her brand new book, Atlas and Sky. So we've got a great opening page. There's a fabulous opening page for Atlas and Sky. Tell me about how you got to this great opening. Do you kind of write it right at the beginning, or do you come back at the end?
Yeah, so my process of writing is that I always write the beginning at the end. Obviously, I start at the beginning, but I always rewrite the start. And it takes me a few attempts to figure out where exactly the start is and what it should be. And I think this one, it took me three different attempts where I had three different beginnings, and this was the third. And it was exactly three as well with Nina Gill as well. And it's almost like I have to get to the end of my draft to really see what the novel is about. So, yeah. I always know what the ending is, but yeah. And I always have like an idea of the beginning, but it's not the beginning that stays at the end. So yeah. Would you like me to read the start?
I'd love that, please.
Okay, brilliant. So this is Atlas's section. So it's the prose, not the verse. And it's the beginning. It's the middle of the night, and for some reason, I'm standing in the middle of my bedroom. Something woke me up. I'm sure of it. My palms are clammy and my heart's racing as my eyes dart around the room. That something could be lurking in the dark, couldn't it? The air around me feels electric. It crackles and fizzes. My skin's covered in goosebumps. Through the darkness, I can just about make out the shapes of the last bits of furniture in my room. The chest of drawers, my desk with video games on it, the space mobile hanging above my head. The stars on my ceiling aren't shining now, so they don't help me see anything. The glow goes after a while of being in the dark. Annoying. It feels like I'm waiting for something. But what?
I just love the question and the setting and the emotion. So, all writers know that your first pages are really important, especially if you want to kind of get an agent. So what's your advice for writing a smashing first page?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I'm the worst person to ask about this because, like I say, I write the first page at the end. but if I was to reflect and think, Why is that? Why do I go back at the end? And why do I keep, what am I doing when I keep rewriting it? I think the first pages obviously have to be compelling. They have to set up some kind of action that's going to keep the reader intrigued, make them want to turn the pages. And I think there also needs to be like some kind of like a promise to the reader, like if you keep reading, this is what you're going to find out. So I like questions. I do like questions, and the chapter finishes with a question, and it's like a really clear sign for the reader, like, oh, this is the question that we're going to be exploring as we carry on. And that question did come at the end, because that by the end of the draft, I knew that, oh, that's what the question is. Yeah, so I think, you know, a pacey first chapter which introduces you to a character that you want to learn more about and a situation that you want to know more about.
Bro Radio. Park Funerals are your local independent funeral directors, having served the community for over 12 years. We put your family's needs first, providing the dignified departure that your loved one deserves. We will keep and care for them at our premises in Barry until they are laid to rest, while caring for you too, keeping our costs fair and offering direct cremations and pre-need funeral plans to help give you peace of mind. To find out more, visit our website parkfunerals.co.uk or call us on 01446 421 212 and our caring team will help you.
If you're craving the best fish and chips in town, You'll find them at Fryer Tuck Fish and Chips on Richard Street, Barry. Choose from tasty chips, crispy battered fish and battered sausages, our irresistible Irish curry, or our ever-popular lunchtime sausage share box. Fryer Tuck Fish and Chips. We deliver locally via Uber. So order now at fryertuckbarry.com or pop in. You'll find us on Richard Street behind the old Wilko.
Next time you need a room for a get-together, a board meeting, or that next big event, talk to the YMCA in Barry. As we've flexible spaces in a great location, we've rooms for small meetings, large conferences, and everything in between. YMCA Barry is great value too. We're easy to get to, we've plenty of on-site parking, we can even sort the catering. To make your event a success, book now at ymcabarry.org.uk.
Oes gennych chi ystafell sbar yn eich tŷ a lle sbar yn eich calon? Os oes, gallwch ddod yn ofalwr cysylltu bywydau. Mae cynllun cysylltu bywydau Bro Morgannwg yn darparu gofal byr dymor a seibiannau hir dymor I bobl leol sy'n byw gydag anghenion cymorth ychwanegol. Mae'n ffordd wych o weithio gartref gan y byddwch yn derbyn dros 400 punt y pen yr wythnos. Gall bron unrhyw un ddod yn ofalwr cysylltu bywydau, felly dysgwch fwy a gwnewch gais heddiw yn veilsharedlives.co.uk.
Was Stevie Wonder with Isn't She Lovely.
You're listening to First Draft, the radio show for writers, and we're back with author Emma Smith Barton. I asked Emma, how we can encourage our young people to read?
I think there are lots of really good campaigns at the moment going on to do with reading. But if I was actually to reflect on my own experience of growing up and loving reading and how it was normal for everyone around me to read and the people who didn't like reading, I feel like that was an exception rather than in general. And I personally think that's down to libraries, because libraries were just a part of our culture. And so I grew up in a house where there weren't many books, actually. My parents didn't really read. And I think, I don't want to make assumptions, but I think culturally that was just they're immigrants and English wasn't their first language. But saying that, my mum did love reading Jane Austen. And so there were a few books around. And what my mum did love is taking us to the library so that we could get books. So it was just normal. We went every week and we chose some books and we took them home with us. And you take a selection home and you explore these books and you figure out what you like. And also during my time in school, the really successful reading schools, I would say, were the ones that made time for reading. And we had reading lessons. And I remember this one school had these book boxes where, you know, if you like this book, you might like these. And they organized the library in this way. And they had bean bags and everyone just went in. And even the children who didn't like reading loved those lessons because they went and found a bean bag. They chilled out with a book and they did end up reading some pages and sometimes discovering a love for reading. So I've always thought it's about a matter of matching up the child with the right book.
Yeah, I agree. And lots of time dedicated to it. Do you have any events then coming up to promote your book or and also where can people find you online? Where can they follow you?
So online, I'm on Instagram. I'm Emma Smith Barton Writes and then _. I do have lots of events coming up from September, school visits. So, any teachers or librarians, anyone involved in schools listening, please do get in touch. I think that's going to be quite busy from September, but I'm really, really, really looking forward to that.
And lucky them, I say. I think they're in for a real treat. Thank you so much for coming to chat to us on Bro Radio, Emma. It's been absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
CJ Wagstaff is a queer writer and musician from Neath. He's the author of the brand new poetry pamphlet called Cult, which is published by the Foundation. CJ is recipient of the 2024 Nigel Jenkins Award, and his work has been published in Poetry Wales, Propel Magazine, The Aftershock Review, and in anthologies for Seren Books. He is currently completing a PhD in creative nonfiction, so it's great to have you here, CJ.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here.
So, first of all, can you tell me a bit about how your poetry pamphlet Cult came about?
Yeah, for sure. So, as you said, it was gifted to me as part of the Nigel Jenkins Award by the Hume Foundation. Poetry's always been something that I've really loved and wanted for myself. My great-grandfather, Rod, was a poet. I never actually met him, but growing up, people would talk about him and his poetry. And I think in his life, he only ever published one poem in an anthology in, like, 1941. But he became kind of like this fairy tale figure that I aspired to. And yeah, I'm very lucky that I had the freedom to follow my aspiration academically, but at the same time, I've always been like a little bit chaotic about it. And I think a lot of poets are, actually. So my BA in English with creative writing in Nottingham, and afterwards I took a few years out, just kind of working really rubbish jobs in pubs and warehouses and as a COVID tester. And I think that's kind of what gave me the resolve to like get organized about writing and take more chances around it. I just didn't want to lug carpets around for the rest of my life. So yeah, I came back to academia to do my master's, and you know, I had this drive that got me the Nigel Jenkins Award, and here we are.
So what's your process with poetry? How do you kind of like, what do you write about? How do you start?
It's really random. I think it's quite different every time. A lot of the times I'll be sort of going about my day and you know, I'll see something or, you know, the scrap of an idea or a line comes to me. And, you know, I go home and try to build off that. Other times I try and be more intentional about it, I guess, and you know, I go into it thinking, oh, I'm going to write a poem about this. Rarely ever works, but you know, it's a mix. It's totally random for me, to be honest.
Bro Radio.
Coming up, we'll be back with CJ. We've got music from Black Sabbath, and we'll have the lowdown on submissions and events.
Bro Radio.
Are you a small business owner or an entrepreneur? TL Systems are specialists in supporting sole traders and small businesses with their IT and telephone needs. We'll supply your internet, phone, office, security and web hosting, and then back it all up so your data is safe. Our rates are very affordable for you as a small business owner. We can supply everything and give you peace of mind with a maintenance contract from as little as £30 per month. TL Systems. Call us for a chat on 01446 747 702. Pop into our shop at the bottom of Halton Road, Barry, or visit tlsystems.co.uk.
If your home is looking tired and in need of renovation, or you're running out of space and could benefit from a loft conversion or extension, call Marshall Development Group and let us get to work. Our high-quality, professional construction services are built on 27 years of industry experience. Marshall Development Group covers the entirety of the Vale and beyond, with all projects backed by our workmanship guarantee. For a free quote, see marshalldevelopmentltd.co.uk.
2012 flooring, we come to you. And now we've got a showroom in Barry and it's new.
Wonder if they do a free measuring service.
Yes, we do.
And uplift and remove old flooring and move furniture.
We sure do.
So, where are you?
At Barry Enterprise Park, Unit 2. Just off Cardiff Road in Surly View.
Lucky that rhymed.
We're 2012 flooring, for fittings what we do. Visit our new showroom or welcome to you.
Barrytown United kick off the new Nevera Cymru Premier campaign by welcoming newly promoted Cambrian United to Jenner Park on Friday 31st July. Get behind the town with adult tickets at £8 and under 16s going free. Enjoy Friday night football at Jenner Park with kick-off at 7:45pm. Keep up to date across the season by searching Barrytown United online.
The water is home to unseen threats. Threats that will take your breath away. Cold water and hidden currents catch out even the strongest swimmers. If you find yourself struggling in the water, remember, float to live. Tilt your head back with your ears submerged, relax, and try to control your breathing. Float to live is a life-saving message from the RNLI.
Your name's everywhere. You seem to be doing, you know, I've seen your work in Nation Cymru, in Buzz Magazine, at Bookspace. One of the things that kind of people maybe don't talk about as much outside of the kind of world of like actively writing is the idea of getting your name out there and meeting lots of different people. How have you gone about that? If you could kind of coach somebody who's at the early stages of their writing, but who wants to make a bit of a name for themselves, what kind of things do you think that they should be doing?
Sure. I mean, it's really difficult kind of creating a presence from scratch. Unfortunately, a lot of the attention we get and a lot of the ways that attention snowballs is online. And my natural instinct is to run as far as I can from social media, but it can be a really interesting and useful tool to kind of create this online presence and, you know, make sure you're in the online spaces where things are happening. All I can say really is just go, like, try it, go for it, you know, comment on other people's posts, congratulating them, make sure that your name is one of the names that's popping up, and just kind of approach people. Everyone is just kind of normal. You know, people like editors and other writers, they're just like anyone else, and they'll chat to you just like anyone else. I think if you're having organic, natural, friendly conversations, then your name's one that's going to pop up when they're thinking about who to ask, who to commission for things. And it's certainly some of the ways that I've received commissions in the past too.
Do you have like a writing CV that you send out, or do you find that everything's coming to you via social media or via kind of going to events?
It's a lot of social media and it's a lot of events. Certain things like, you know, Literature Wales schemes or, you know, things like that you actually have to apply to. I do have a CV ready. At the moment, I'm quite lucky that I do get things through just kind of knowing people. And I know none of us want to believe that it's kind of true, and it's not that pleasant to think of, but you know, it is kind of who you know. But it's also not that painful to put yourself in those spaces.
So are there any kind of good events, those kind of places that you would recommend that people go to, just to, you know, even just initially to watch, you know, just by you build your confidence? Is there any particular places that you have been, or spaces, or is it through academic study, or what kind of places do you think are good starting points?
Yeah, I think the literary community does feel kind of fragmented from academia. There are certainly loads of open mics, especially around Cardiff, and I run one in Swansea too. And I'd say specifically Tiger Bay poetry is one way you're really going to meet the people who are doing really interesting things, and, you know, see what they're doing, and see them almost kind of composing in real time. You know, they're sharing new work, they're sharing their processes. I always find those spaces really inspiring. I come away wanting to write and submit and, do what they're doing.
And there is a Tiger Bay in August, which I'll give more details about at the end of the show. Yeah, there's a great night there. Fantastic. And so what's coming up next for you?
I have a few poems coming out in an anthology later in the year, which I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about, but that's happening. And then I'm sort of knuckling down now to write my non-fiction book, which I'm writing for my PhD. I wanted to get a draft of it done before the end of the year, so it's crunch time now for me, so I'm gonna disappear for a while, I think.
And what's it about? Are you allowed to share yet, or?
Yeah, sure. So in March, I released an essay in an anthology from Seren. Book's called The Waters That Raised Us. My essay in it is called On Returning, and it kind of follows a week I spent in waterfall country in the Neath Valley, and talks about how places story and kind of weaves in my personal history as a trans person sort of transitioning. And the book kind of takes that idea and looks at it a bit more broadly in the context of the whole Neath Valley, which, you know, the more time I grew up there, but the more time I'm kind of spending in it and really immersed in it, I'm realizing it's this incredibly rich historical kind of archive, you know, this living archive. You know, I never knew that the romantic painters were just obsessed with Neath, which is crazy. You know, we always think of it as this really ugly industrial kind of, you know, utilitarian place, but it was a resort in the 17th and 18th centuries, before big industry came. It was like a resort town, and you know, Turner painted the waterfalls in Aberdeen. People flocked there. So it's got all this, you know, amazing history that, I'm just trying to capture.
And fascinating. So it's like an extension of the essay that you did for The Waters That Raised Us, edited by Taylor Edmonds.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Taylor did a cracking job as well. It's a really special book with a lot of different angles.
Yeah, that's published by Severin. So that sounds like an interesting project, of course. So how can people follow you then and kind of keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram. It's at CJWagstaff1. I have a love-hate relationship with social media. So sometimes I'm on there, sometimes I'm not. If I've got something to share, I'll re-download it for a bit. I edit for Nation Cymru, so if you search my name on the website, my latest stuff is going to come up. And if you see me in the street, say hi.
We will. Oh, thank you so much. It's been fascinating to talk to you, and good luck with your PhD.
Thank you so much. Nice to talk to you. Raw Radio.
Opportunity for submission, then there are a few deadlines to go in your diary and some literary events for you too. First up, Broken Sleep books are open for submissions until the 31st of August. They're looking for non-fiction prose pamphlets of up to 150 pages. So if you would like to submit to them, then all the guidelines are available on the Broken Sleep books website. Arachne Press, they're only just still open, but they are for short poems in Welsh or English on the theme of home ground. The submission deadline is the 1st of August, with publication planned for summer 27.
You'll find all the details on the Arachne Press submittable page, or just if you look up Arachne Press. Looking further ahead, the Sarita Domingo Prize closes on the 21st of September. It's free to enter and aims to discover and support unpublished writers from Black and global majority backgrounds. Founded by best-selling author Dorothy Coombson in partnership with Sarita Domingo's family, Hatchet UK, Jacaranda Books and David Higham Associates, the prize celebrates diverse stories and underrepresented voices. For more information, visit the Future Bookshelf website and click on opportunities. There's a few things to look at there. Verve Books is currently open to submissions from both new and established writers. They're looking for literary fiction, historical fiction, literary horror, weird and speculative fiction, etc., etc. So have a little look at what you could send into them. Please note that they're not accepting short stories, children's or young adult manuscripts at the moment. Full details are on the Verve Books website. If you have a young person and you're looking for something to do over the summer, then massive recommend for Vale Libraries. They've got a packed programme for this year's Summer Reading Challenge. One highlight is on Monday the 11th of August at Cowbridge Library, where a friend of the show, Rhiannon Oliver, will be leading a poetry event. We went to one in Sandwich Major Library and it was absolutely superb, but there are tons and tons and tons of different events on at the libraries. The best place to find out the information on those I found is on Facebook, so do check those out, they're really good. On Saturday the 22nd of August, Bardic Books welcomes Megan C. Hayes for a conversation with her about her new book Glimmering. Tickets are available at Bardic Books in Sandwich Major and on Eventbrite. Looking ahead to Saturday the 5th of September, Griffin Books is starting their August series of events with Robert Harris, who will be discussing his new novel Agrippa, that is at the Page Rooms in Penarth. Tickets are available from Griffin Books and also from Griffin Books' website. On Wednesday the 26th of August, author Mab Jones is hosting The Clearing Seascape at Jackson's Bay, weather permitting. That will be from 10 a.m. to midday and combines meditation, resonance therapy and journaling for what promises to be a mini reset by the sea. The exchange for the event is two current British banknotes of your choosing. Bring something to sit on, a notebook and pen, sunscreen and a drink. For further details, please email Mab at somaticsoundtherapy@gmail.com. Finally, as CJ mentioned earlier, Tiger Bay Poetry is a great open mic night, plus they have their featured poets. That's at Chapter Arts Centre in Cardiff on Thursday the 20th of August at 7 p.m. Entry is £3 and there's an open mic too. So whether you'd like to perform or just want to go and listen to some great poetry, do go along to that. That's the week's roundup of writing opportunities and literary events. If you've got an event or some publication news, I'd love to hear some success stories, then do get in touch, hello@broradio.fm. Just want to say a massive thank you to Emma and CJ for their great advice. I will be back on August the 27th, but do catch up with previous episodes on the Listen Again on Bro Radio or on Spotify, where you can look up the show. If you look up Sarah Pesh on First Draft, it will come up for you. So that's all from me. Until August, keep writing.
Bro Radio.
For quality car parts at low prices, head to LMF Motorfactors on Main Street, Barry. Whatever parts you need, brake pads and batteries, to oil and accessories, our experienced team will find what you need. LMF Motorfactors is an independent company that values the business of our local community, and we're determined to keep the Vale on the road for less. LMF Motorfactors. Visit us today on Main Street, Barry. Why go anywhere else?
The summer holidays are upon us, and if you're looking for great ways to keep the whole family entertained, we've got you covered at Fonmon Castle. As well as an immersive film weekend in August, we've special themed weekends too, like pirates and fairies, K-pop, ice princess and superheroes at the castle. You can encounter dinosaurs in Jurassic Wales, follow the Welsh folklore story trail, explore the castle grounds, let off steam in our play areas. Oh, and we're open 10 till 4 daily all summer long. Book tickets at fonmoncastle.com.
Memoria Cardiff and Glamorgan invite you to visit their beautiful memorial park on Port Road East. Come and take a look around the peaceful grounds, where they offer both cremation and burial plots designed to provide a lasting place of remembrance. Meet the friendly team who will be on hand to answer any questions and guide you through the options available. Find out more at cardiffandglamorganmemorial.co.uk or call 01446 724 042.
Year-end accounts, self-assessment tax returns, VAT returns, PAYE, corporation tax. They all need to add up. So, who better to count on than Blaney Accountancy? Based in Barry, we offer everything a small business needs, and we can help landlords with portfolio tax returns too. For everything from specialist tax advice to practical accountancy solutions.
Blaney Accountancy.
Call Barry 739 329 or see blaneyaccountancy.com.
On FM,
DAB,
Smart Speaker,
and the Bro Radio app.
This is Bro Radio.